August 30, Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest. Am I convinced by Christ? Notwithstanding in this rejoice not, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Luke 10:19-20. Jesus Christ says, in effect, don't rejoice in successful service, but rejoice because you are rightly related to me. The snare in Christian work is to rejoice in successful service, to rejoice in the fact that God has used you. You never can measure what God will do through you if you are rightly related to Jesus Christ. Keep your relationship with him right. Then, whatever circumstances you are in, and whoever you meet day by day, he is pouring rivers of living water through you, and it is of his mercy that he does not let you know it. When once you are rightly related to God by salvation and sanctification, remember that wherever you are put there by God, and by the reaction of your life on the circumstances around you, you will fulfill God's purpose as long as you keep in the light as God is in the light. The tendency today is to put the emphasis on service. Beware of the people who make usefulness their ground of appeal. If you make usefulness the test, then Jesus Christ was the greatest failure that ever lived. The lodestar of the saint is God himself, not estimated usefulness. It is the work that God does through us that counts, not what we do for him. All that our Lord heeds in a man's life is the relationship of worth to his Father. Jesus is bringing many sons to glory. That's the end of Oswald's text. It is frequently a pattern in Christian circles, in the Christian religion in particular, that people place a great deal of emphasis on their service for God once they have become saved. The assumption is that once you're saved, you're rightly related to Jesus. Yet the right relationship to Jesus is one that is deeply intimate and up close and personal, such as husband and wife in a marriage, or two lovers just madly in love with one another. To sell God short and make him a master rather than a lover defeats a great deal of what he has purposed for you and for us. He wants a relationship as it was in the garden. He doesn't want servants. He has all the servants he needs in heaven. They're called angels. He doesn't need us thrashing and trashing ourselves about trying to live what we think is a sinlessly perfect life or as close to it as we can accomplish. He is interested in one and only thing, and that is that he would have our affection, our unadulterated affection, and that in that place and state of affection, we would bask in his love and his forgiveness and his grace that far exceeds anything we can imagine. God's purpose always has been and always will be in the life of a man or a woman to bring himself together with ourself in union as in a marriage with all of the pleasures and joys and delights that come from that kind of relationship. Always looking for ways to please one another. Always looking for ways to be in each other's presence. Brother Lawrence, the monk of the 16th, in the 1600s, I guess the 17th century, was one who set about to practice the presence of God and to do so every 60 seconds. To be continually and constantly aware of the presence of God in his everyday, mundane, routine tasks, as well as in the times of greatest prayer and quiet time and personal devotion. In so doing, he developed what appeared to be a life so abandoned to God that he was rarely, if ever, troubled by any circumstance that befell him. And his time alone with God seemed to be no different from his time, of his busiest time, at his place in the kitchen at work, in terms of his communion with God. That is the way it is when one is madly in love. No matter what you're doing, you're like walking on air, just lifted by the thoughts of the one with whom you have fallen in love. Fall in love with Jesus Christ. Abandon completely to him as your husband and as your Lord, and let him take care of you just as a great husband will take care of his bride. Let him carry you across the threshold and provide your needs from now to eternity.